Christmas. Merry Christmas. All right. I'm going to have to cough. Can you turn the volume down while I cough? Thanks.
It's terrible when you've got one of these on. Hold the microphone away.
You have to remember to turn these off, by the way. I know of a pastor that left his on and he went to the toilet. Anyway. So, how's your Christmas been so far? Ours has been... rockets going off into trees and helicopters and scooters that didn't have all the right bits and, oh, I'll tell you what. That's what my wife kept saying. Read the instructions. Don't need those. That's right. What is it with men and instructions? So today I want to talk about extreme proposals, wedding proposals, and extreme makeovers. And I'm not talking about a reality TV show, I'm talking about Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commit this message to you, Lord, in our hearts and today. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stop and reflect and to think about you. And we pray that you'd help us to do that now, in Jesus' name. So I want to start by talking about an extreme makeover. About 5 years ago, my family and I decided to move to the Promised Land. Talking about Darlington. The only problem we had was to move to Darlington, we had to buy the cheapest house in Darlington. And we bought a bit of a shocker. The real estate agent even tried to talk us out of buying it. The person that was trying to sell it to us, she kept saying, "Are you sure you really want to do this?" And many people I've met throughout the last few years, when I tell them about where I live, they're like, "You bought that house?" So the first 2 months were basically, I rigged up a makeshift bathroom on the front lawn, or it wasn't a lawn, front dirt, with pallets, four poles and big sheet of black plastic around, and that was the bathroom. So I've got three teenage daughters, 13, 15 and 16 at the time, and I'm telling them, "Well, this is your bathroom, girls." They were not impressed, to say the least. In fact, I remember saying, "Why have you brought us here?" It reminded me of like the Israelites with Moses, like, "Why have you brought us to this place? Let's go back to Egypt, you know?" But we persisted and we persisted, and now we have a front wall on our house, which is nice. You know, it sees straight in. We've got plumbing that works and a pool and a garden, and it's actually worked out really well. I was really quite reluctant to buy it, but Melissa had a vision for what this place could be, and that's why we launched into it. And today I want to talk about God and his vision to restore us. You know, he's in the business of renovating as well, and he can see what we could be as well. And so that's what Christmas is about. Romans 8:29 says that he predestined us to be conformed into the image of his son. Perhaps we already know the work that needs to be done in our lives, or perhaps we need to see it from God's perspective. Please come in. Find yourself a seat. I read this scripture the other day, which talks about how humans will be in the last times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 to 4 says, "During the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. When you read this, it's surprising that God just doesn't come in with a wrecking ball and wipe it out and start again. But he's in the business of restoration. My wife and I are currently renovating a house down in Bassendean, and a couple of days ago I was talking to the plumber and he said, wouldn't it have been better just to knock it down and start again? But this house is over 60 years old, and it's like, what a shame to just wipe it out and start again when there's so much heritage there and there's so much history there in that house, and how wonderful it would be to actually bring it back to where it should be. And you know, God tells us in Psalm 39 that we've been fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, that he knitted us together in our mother's womb. We've been created in God's image. You know, he doesn't want to start again. He wants to build on what is already there from what he originally created. Yes, many years and many poor decisions have brought us into a bad state, but God wants to rebuild that which is damaged. Isaiah chapter 61, we read this: the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, that they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, for this is the day of his splendour. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. And we'll know that one of the first things Jesus did when he started his ministry was he went into a synagogue and he read out, opened a scroll and he actually read out this passage. And he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You know, he is the fulfillment of what we've just read. That he's the one that's come to set the captives free and to rebuild the ancient ruins. And that's what the Christmas story is about. It's him coming and fulfilling that prophecy. Complete healing, transformation, and renovation of the people he created in his image. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who have unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Every day, you know, it's like I'll do a few days renovating, I need a day off. The Holy Spirit is at work constantly every day, renewing us into the likeness of Christ, working in our lives, bringing that restoration. The Bible doesn't stop at the analogy of God restoring ruins, but it goes to a whole new level when we read that he has come to prepare his bride. How humbling that we should be chosen to be the bride of Christ, proposed to by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I thought I'd Google extreme wedding proposals and see what I come up with. There's one guy decided he wanted to propose to his girlfriend on TV in America, of course, all happens in America. So he inquired about how much it would cost him to get a commercial during the Super Bowl, which is the biggest sporting event of the year. It was going to cost $2.5 million for 30 seconds. So he decided that wasn't going to happen. He worked really hard. He raised about $50,000 and he couldn't get anywhere near $2.5 million. So he ended up being able to purchase a commercial during her favourite TV program, and so she's watching her favourite TV show, and all of a sudden he comes on and proposes to her over over the TV. And then there was another guy. This guy asked his girlfriend to marry him by having a play performed at a theatre. Not only that, he played the leading role and ensured that his girlfriend, Victoria, would be at the play. It was not hard because she was an avid theatre buff. And as a girls' night out, she and her friends went to watch the play. During the play, he wore a mask. And at the end, when he was supposed to declare his undying love for his onstage lady, he took off his mask and turned to the audience and said, "No, the woman I love is called Victoria and she's sitting in the sixth row. Will you marry me, Victoria?" She was absolutely stunned and accepted with an overjoyed yes. Imagine if she said no. All that trouble. So that's extreme, but how extreme is God's proposal to us? Soren Kierkegaard wrote this parable to try to get this point across. He says, "Once upon a time there was a very rich king. He longed for a wife that he could share his life with. Then one day the king saw the most beautiful woman he'd ever seen riding through the streets. Inquiries revealed that she was a peasant girl, but the king's heart was captivated. He would make sure that each day he rode past her house, hoping to catch a glimpse of his love. But the king had a problem. How could he win her love? He could draw up a royal decree commanding her to become his queen. But then how could he ever be sure that he'd won her love? For she would be required by a royal decree. Perhaps he could call on her and try to win her over, appearing in all his regal glory to sweep her off her feet. But no, he could never be sure whether she had married him only for his power and riches. Finally, he came up with a perfect plan. He would come to her as a peasant. It was the only way he could truly win her love. So he abandoned his palace and his riches and his comforts, and he put on the clothes of a peasant. He went to live amongst the peasants. He worked with them, shared their sufferings, and danced at their feasts until finally he won the heart of the woman who captured his." And so it is with God. Christ became one of us, lived amongst us, worked amongst us, suffered with us, and danced with us, all in order to win our hearts. And that's the story of Christmas. Think of Philippians chapter 2. "Though being equal with God, he did not grasp that, but he gave it up, taking on the form of a human, found as a baby. Then he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross." You know, it's an amazing story. John puts it like this. He says in chapter 1, verse 14, "So the Word became human and made his home amongst us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." The question today is, have you accepted this proposal? This hand reaching out to you with the offer of an eternal relationship with the living God. And Romans 10, it says, "If we openly declare that Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved." We might have to get some more chairs out the back. So if we've accepted the offer of restoration, we've got work to be done. The bride's got to get ready, right? Ephesians 5:25, Paul says that Christ loved the church and Jesus gave his life up for her, making her holy and clean. And it says in the context of husbands loving their wives. So we see here, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, making her holy and clean, washing her by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any blemish, instead to be holy and without fault. So God's plan we see here is to present a perfect bride. And, you know, for a bride to be perfect, there needs to be work, right? There needs to be a makeover. I know for us guys, it's pretty easy. You just get the high suit, shower in a can, 10 minutes, you're there. But for the girls, I think it's a little bit more complicated. Now, I don't know. I have any clue of what it goes on with getting women ready for weddings.
It's a mystery.
It is a mystery. We all know they just go away for the day and then they come out and it's all done and I'm like, wow. I hadn't actually written this in there, but it just brought back memories of Melissa coming down the aisle on our wedding day and wow. And I just couldn't hold back the tears. I was overwhelmed with emotion seeing her walk down the aisle. She looked incredible. So it takes a long time, and it takes a team. You know, I'm sure that not many brides get ready on their own. From what I've seen, you know, mum's involved and best friend, and there's a whole posse working working on this masterpiece. So, but so it is with us. We can't do it on our own either, can we? You know, we can't present ourselves as the bride of Christ without spot or wrinkle. We need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Christmas is a good time to take an inventory of some of the areas in our life that need a bit of work. Like, you know, it's during this time that things often raise their ugly heads and we think, oh, I don't like that about myself. Think about the relative that you really don't want to sit down and talk to over Christmas lunch. The overeating and already... We had a big feast last night and I way overdid it. And then there's the cost of the whole thing. And then I think, oh, hang on a minute. It's not a good attitude. Christmas and I have a love-hate relationship. But we're here today to celebrate good news. We're here today to remember what the angels said to the shepherds. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. God has not left us abandoned, but he came in the flesh on a rescue mission to save our souls. Have we responded to this extreme proposal from our Lord? And if we have responded, how have we allowed him into the deep, dark recesses of our house to renovate those damaged parts? And are we getting ready for the wedding celebration? Are we allowing the Lord to do an extreme makeover on us? There's just a few thoughts for you to ponder this Christmas. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your good news, the good news that we celebrate today, that we haven't been left abandoned, that we haven't had a wrecking ball come in and just knock us over to start again. But, Lord, that out of your love, you came and you became one of us and you showed us the way to love. You showed us that you care so much for us. You have a plan, Lord, not to leave us in our state, but to create us into your image. And we open our hearts up right now, Lord, for anyone here today who hasn't yet said yes and allowed that ring on their finger, that deposit of the Holy Spirit in their heart, promising that they'll be saved for eternity. Lord, I commit those people to you, Lord, that they might do that right now. They might just say yes. Yes, I accept your proposal. And Lord, we commit our lives to you, Lord. Those bad attitudes that come up, particularly around Christmas, Lord, where we reflect on our lives and think, wow, I'm still a work in progress. Lord, we commit those areas of our life to you. We pray that you would break those things down and rebuild them, make them into that fine house that you're creating. So Father, bless today, bless our conversations with our friends and relatives as we go about the day. Watch over us as we travel and keep us all safe, and let us be honouring to you. In Jesus' name, amen.